Chapter 56, The Great Schism. In Chapter 45, we told you about the struggle between Pope Gregory VII and German Emperor Henry IV. That was a struggle for power, a struggle between church and state. But not only the German emperors resisted the ambition for power by the popes, but also the French kings had no intention of submitting themselves to the commands of the Pope. They cordially declined to be dependent upon him in everything. About the year 1300, Philip IV reigned in France. This king was involved in a war with England. Waging a war always costs lots of money. Also, Philip IV needed a lot of money. For that reason, the French citizens had to pay high taxes. Philip IV also wanted to levy taxes on the clergy and on the monasteries. They were rich, and hence they could spare something. The Pope heard that and forbade that. The clergy and the monasteries must remain exempt from paying taxes. The French king did it just the same and did not care about the command of the Pope in the least. According to him, the Pope had nothing to do with that. However, the Pope thought, "The King of France shall still obey me." He made plans to excommunicate Philip IV in order to thus drive through his will. But before he could pronounce the ban, his palace was suddenly attacked by 600 heavily armed French soldiers. They made the Pope prisoner. What a humiliation for that proud prince of the church! Is he, the vicar of Christ upon earth, a prisoner of the French king? Although soon after that his friends succeeded to liberate him, yet shortly thereafter the Pope died. His capture and humiliation have been too much for the 86-year-old gray-haired man. Naturally, another Pope was chosen, and he went to live in the city of Avignon. This city is situated on the Rhone in the south of France. The popes have lived almost 70 years in France, and during all those years the French kings played boss over them. The time which the popes spent in Avignon is sometimes called the Babylonian captivity of the Pope, the same as the Jews were in Babylon for 70 years. Thus the popes have lived for 70 years in Avignon. From thence that name. However, in 1377, the Pope returned to Rome again. The French kings had become accustomed to play the boss over the popes. They thought it belonged that way. In 1378, a new pope was chosen in Rome again. This pope refused to submit to the commands of the French kings. He wanted to break the influence of those rulers over the popes. The king became so angry about that he said, "You may no longer be pope." And by means of the French cardinals, he appointed another pope who went to live in the French city of Avignon again. Now there were two popes at the same time. One pope lived in Rome, and one pope lived in Avignon. Through that, a great schism originated in the Roman Catholic Church. The one part acknowledged the pope at Rome. The other part acknowledged the pope at Avignon. There was discord and division everywhere. There came a split in the churches. Splits also came in the monasteries. Splits occurred among the common people. Hatred and envy prevailed everywhere. Splits originated even among the relatives and in the families. The Pope at Rome said, "I am the real Pope. All must obey me." He excommunicated the Pope, hence his opposing Pope, who lived in Avignon. But thereby not only the Pope was touched, but all that acknowledged and supported the French Pope were also excommunicated. The Pope who lived in Avignon did not leave that rest. He said, "No, I am the real Pope." And with a large army, he marched against Rome to drive his enemy away. However, his army was defeated. When the French Pope saw that he could not win, he likewise excommunicated the Pope at Rome and all his followers. Those two popes cursed each other in the name of Jesus Christ. They railed at each other. They directed papal letters and papal messages to the people. They attacked each other in all sorts of ways. Hence, it is no wonder that the common people lost all respect for the Pope. Those common people no longer knew who they should obey. The greatest discord prevailed also among the bishops and archbishops. They demanded obedience from their church members. One would say, "You must obey the Pope of Rome, because only him I acknowledge as the true Pope." Another said, "No, you must obey the Pope at Avignon, because he is the real Pope, and the other one is a deceiver." Yea, and who was right? The people no longer knew, and they shrugged their shoulders. They became indifferent. It no longer mattered to them. If the vicars of Christ cursed each other, then they were at a loss altogether. If their leaders, the bishops and archbishops, lived in hatred and envy with each other and gave contradictory commands, then the common church people just laughed and they went about their own way. The kings of France and Spain chose the side of the French Pope. The Emperor of Germany and the King of England chose the side of the Pope who lived in Rome. Surely, what confusion! Just this great schism has contributed that the people began to realize that it could no longer continue in this way. A change had to come, for in this way the church would be wrecked. Something else was added to that. The popes were fond of feasting. Those important gentlemen did not make themselves very busy about church matters, and lived in luxury and excess. However, feasting costs money. The papal courts needed very much money. For that reason, all citizens had to pay taxes to the Pope, and not a small amount either. However, now there were two popes, both of whom had their own palace and their own court. The Pope of Rome often had great festivals and hunting parties. The Pope of Avignon likewise often had feasts and great hunting parties. But by that, the people had to pay much more money. They had to pay so much taxes, they became poor because of it. For that reason, the people became dissatisfied. They reviled the popes. They said, "Why do not the popes live more plainly? Why are they not more economical? We do not feast every day." They were perfectly right in that. It was not necessary that money was thrown around in that way. Also, in consequence of this, the popes lost their influence more and more upon the people. All these things contributed that the people began to cry for a change, for reformation. do you see that gradually the time became ripe for the great revolution? And when the moment was there appointed by God, and that the great reformation came, then thousands and ten thousands of people left the Roman Catholic Church. They were no longer satisfied with dead form religion. They tried to put an end to that division, but they were unsuccessful. That split is also called with a strange word, schism. Thus, the word schism or split means the same thing. At one time, many high clergymen met together. Cardinals, archbishops, and bishops held a great church council. They discussed with each other the sad conditions which prevailed in the ecclesiastical sphere. They also discussed the unbearable condition that there were two popes at the same time, and they decided to put an end to that. At that council, at that ecclesiastical gathering, the two existing popes were deposed, and a new one was chosen. But the pope at Rome said, "I am the real pope, and I am not going away." The pope at Avignon said, "I will not consider going away, because I am the true pope, and they may not depose me." The newly appointed pope also remained. Each had their friends, and each had their adherents and followers, so that the result of it all was that now there were three popes at the same time. Now it became still worse. By this, the church was split into three groups. The division and confusion increased. Many of the common people from among the laity shook their heads or laughed heartily about it. During that time of the ecclesiastical schism, of the great split, during that time of commotion, of hatred and envy, of strife and division, a man lived in England who earnestly warned against this corruption. The name of that man was John Wycliffe. We shall tell you one thing and another about him in the next chapter.